Hi, this is Rini Primeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer, telling you to stay tuned to WNJC 1360 AM for Thursday in the Doghouse, coming right up.
Mama was a mutt, Daddy was one too. Me, I'm a little bit of everything, everything that I use. One day I'm walking down my...
Good morning, listeners. Welcome to Thursday in the Doghouse, New Jersey's only on-air, online program that discusses and provides educational information about our family companion, our favorite companion pet, the dog. I'm your host, Rini Primeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer.
And I'm your host, Karen Fazio, the Dog Super Nanny.
Karen and I are both professional dog trainers who service many areas throughout the state of New Jersey. We work with puppies, adolescents, and adopted rescues. While we do basic obedience, we also work with dogs that are anxious and fearful, dogs that are possessive of food and other things, and dogs that show aggression toward humans as well as other dogs. We've created this show in order to help you have a much better understanding of that animal that lives in your home. We've talked a lot about behavioral issues and what causes them. We have interviewed veterinarians about health and nutrition. We've talked to shelters and doggy daycare centers who do wonderful charity work for rescue organizations. And we've also talked to the authors of some absolutely incredible books about dogs. If you're a first-time listener and you want to catch up on hearing some of our previous shows, please go to our websites, where you'll find dozens of our podcasts. My website is www.jerseydogtrainer.com, and Karen's website is www.thedogsupernanny.com. We guarantee that you will learn a lot. Have you ever had a dog that you thought of as your heart dog? This was the dog that had passed away and the one who will forever have that most special place in your heart and mind. I don't know about you, but every time I've lost a dog, I always say, no more. I'll never get another dog again because it's just so painful when I have to lose them. But guess what? I always get another dog. And I imagine you have too. Many of us who lost our heart dog wind up getting a new dog, often of that same breed, because we're sure the new dog will be just as great as the one we've lost. Unfortunately, things just don't always work out that way. And that's the subject Karen and I will be talking about today. But first, please let Karen describe the dog training services she offers in the Keyport, New Jersey area, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Are you the owner of a fearful or aggressive dog and don't know where to turn? Have you called other trainers and they've turned you down because they don't want to deal with an aggression case? Then My Best Friend Dog Training and its special service, the Dog Super Nanny, is maybe just what you're looking for. We do in-home private consultations. We're located in Keyport, New Jersey, and we do travel. Our phone number is 732-533-9376, and our website is mybestfrienddogschool.com. We are positive-based trainers and don't use physical punishment or fear as a way to motivate your dog. We use games and fun as a way to do that, and we also help you during the whole process. So give us a call. We're here for you. 732-533-9376.
Welcome back to Thursday in the Doghouse. I'm Karen Fazio, the Dog Super Nanny, and I'm here with my co-host, Rini Primeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer. And today we're going to talk about a unique phenomenon that affects dog owners, and affects especially the ones who had owned good dogs, or what I call super dogs, in the past. And I've termed this condition my other dog was so much better syndrome. And I'm wondering if you guys suffer from it. I, as a professional dog trainer, have suffered greatly from this. And it can be very debilitating, and it can also create a major roadblock, a major roadblock to training success. And some of the symptoms and some of the characteristics of a person that's suffering from my other dog with so much better syndrome is... The number one thing is trying to pull information from the past and techniques that you used on a past dog and applying it to the dog that you have. And quite often, the new dog that we have is nothing like the old dog. It may be the same breed, it may look the same, but, you know, like all living things, it has its own unique personality and its own set of issues, and its own set of challenges. And what happens is that we get caught up in the past, and we're thinking inside this box, and we're trying to pull information that worked in the past and apply it to this dog, and it doesn't work. A lot of times it doesn't work. And this causes a great deal of frustration. A lot of people who suffer from this syndrome also have a tremendous amount of guilt because they have another dog, and now it's pulling on their heartstrings, and they have to kind of let go of the love that they had for their other dog. Not really, but I'll explain that. But in a way, they feel like they have to. And they feel like a sense of betrayal and guilt. They start feeling anger and frustration, and quite a lot of times they actually resent their new dog. Even if the dog is behaving well, they kind of resent it. And, you know, these are normal feelings that anybody would go through if they were in a relationship, a long-term relationship, and they started dating again, or they had someone close to pass away and they had to form another relationship with someone on a similar level, say like a spouse or even a best friend. So this is quite common, and Renee and I are here today to help you cope with that, and to give you some techniques that can help you move on and reach the dog's mind without having all of these horrible emotions blocking the way. What do you have to say, Renee?
Well, I'm glad you asked, because I'm sitting here thinking about my own personal situation years ago. My husband and I, our first dog was a German Shepherd. His name was Rom, and he lived for 11 years, and then he died, and I hadn't grieved enough for this dog. And somebody offered to friends of ours had a rental property, and they had tenants in there with a puppy, and they weren't supposed to have the puppy in this rental property. And unfortunately, they had to give them an ultimatum, and they told them that maybe we would want to adopt the puppy. And so that's what we did. And it was probably only a few weeks after my Shepherd died. And so he was an adorable black lab Irish setter mix. He was gorgeous. And he was a funny dog, and he turned out to be a really, really great dog in our home. But I brought him home, and, you know, like other puppies, we taught him things and stuff like that. But one day I'm out doing my gardening, and I had roses at that time, and I was spraying the roses with something that keeps the leaves from rotting, but it's a toxic substance, and I knew the puppy was in the area, and I was just figuring, he won't eat the grass that I'm spraying. He just won't eat it.
And that's why, because your other dog didn't do it.
Well, I can't honestly say that. It was just I had a lack of concern for the new puppy, because I hadn't given myself enough time to bond with him before I got him. So that's one of the things that I want to tell everybody out there. If you have lost your heart dog, or as Karen says, your super dog, make sure you do allow enough time to grieve over the loss of that dog before you get a new one. If you rush into purchasing or adoption, you're more than likely to have a difficult time bonding to your new companion pet if you don't give it enough time. And this alone can set your future relationship up for failure. And I feel guilty about that till today. The dog did eat the grass that I was spraying, and I had to rush him to the emergency hospital, because he was very much affected by that toxic substance. That's when I formed the bond out of the guilt that I felt for setting this poor little puppy up for failure. He almost died, Karen, and it would have been my fault. So, you know, I'm not proud of what I did, but I want to let the public out there know that we are all human. We do some strange things sometimes when we're in a state of grief or emotional upset. And we really have to remember that this is a living, breathing, emotional animal that we've taken into our home, and it's not right to for them if we rush into this.
Right, exactly. And, you know, you brought up a very good point, is that it's hard to bond with the new dog. I mean, you like it, it's cute, and you care for it, and you're happy, but you're really not. And it's very, very difficult to make that emotional connection. And, you know, if you have a dog especially that has issues, this is really starts to really compound
right.
and make things worse.
Sure.
You know, say like you get a dog that has issues. It might have aggression issues or fear issues or housebreaking issues, you know.
The house training, I will tell you, as a trainer, I meet many, many people who have done exactly what we're talking about. They lost their dog. Let's say the dog was a Chihuahua, and they'd had a Chihuahua before, and they went and got the same breed because they were convinced that the new Chihuahua was going to be exactly like the other one.
Right.
And the new Chihuahua is not house training, as quickly as the other dog, and that's the first thing that I hear, either on the phone when I'm taking the initial intake history or when I get to the house, this dog is so different from my other dog. I house trained that other dog in 2 weeks, and this dog is 4 months old. He's still peeing on the floor. So
right.
The anger is there. The resentment is there. But they wound up getting a dog that they thought was going to be just as perfect. And here's my standard answer to this. No dog is a clone of another. No person is a clone of another. I tell my brother this all the time because he and I are absolutely nothing alike. And we're from the same parents, just like you could get litter mates, and they're different from each other. And that's a problematic situation. That's something we should discuss someday too, is not getting litter mates. But you know, every dog is an individual. Every dog has its own personality, and every dog may have its own issues. You may have been extremely lucky. Sometimes dogs, sometimes people will have a breed. Let's say the heart dog is a breed that is normally very, very energetic. I'm thinking more in terms of a lab, a chocolate lab. In my experience, chocolate labs are the most energetic of all of the three colors that normally are out there. Black labs are energetic, yellow labs are energetic, but chocolate labs seem to take it to a different level.
They go to a whole new level.
They do. They're a whole different breed. So the owners will go out and get a chocolate lab puppy. And this lab puppy may have been bred with very strong hunting instincts, has energy that just doesn't seem to quit. And then they'll tell me, this dog is nothing like my other dog. This dog is crazy. My other dog was so calm and collected, and she didn't give me any trouble, but this dog is a problem. Well, that's unfortunate.
It's unfortunate, and, you know, the problem is that one of the biggest issues is that we're not seeing this dog as an individual. We're seeing it as like you said, a clone of the other dog. And you know what? I mean, we're not really simplifying it that much. I mean, obviously, everybody knows that the dog is new and it's a different dog. It's got a different name and it does different things. But psychologically, we're really caught up in the past. And, you know, I have a couple of tips here. That I suggest, that I have a good suggestion, and Rena, you can interrupt any time that you want.
Thank you.
And I think the first thing that you have to realize is that when you have a new dog, success doesn't happen overnight. It's a gradual process. And training is a gradual process, and forming new relationships is a gradual process. It just doesn't happen like that. But the first thing that you need to do is kind of figure out, what kind of personal relationship do you ultimately want to have with this dog? I mean, more likely than not, it's going to be the kind of relationship you had in the past. But I want you to open up your mind and try to invent different things. I mean, if this dog likes to run, maybe take up running or rollerblading or something like that. Or, you know, if the dog likes to search out, you know, garbage and food, I mean, maybe get him to do some scent work. I mean, it could be a really, really rewarding experience trying something new.
Mm-hmm.
You also need to be realistic about your goals. I mean, most of us, if you're like any other average person, we got a long-range goal. But, you know, it's hard to get there if you don't have a short-range goal, a mid-range goal, and a long-range goal. So you have to be very realistic about it. You have to list. I like to list down, make an actual list of the types of behaviors that make you feel angry, fearful, unappreciated, or rejected, and when. And how do you express those feelings? Do you ever take those feelings out on your dog or other person living with you? Do you ever feel as though there is competition between the two, and that's common, and if so, when? Do you ever feel that if the dog gets his or her way that you have lost? You need to write down, if so, when and why. Does the dog embarrass you in public, and how do you behave when that happens? Do you ever feel as if your new dog could ever never be aspire to be as good as your old dog? I have some other suggestions, too. But, you know, the other thing that you want to keep in mind is on any given day, in any given predicament, imagine what your dog, imagine that your dog is a child. I know that we try to avoid this in dog training, but just for a moment, imagine that it's a child. Would your behavior toward your dog at that moment appear normal if you were interacting with a child?
Karen, let me interrupt you just for a minute because I was going to ask you, have you ever worked with clients with their dog, but you saw with the children or you heard the owner make some comment about their children favoring one child over another, maybe making a comment, my son is so much smarter than my daughter. I wish my daughter would do the things my son does.
I have that in the chapter in my book that this came from, and I say that same exact thing. I mean, what a horrible parent.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine being at the schoolyard and little Johnny is running around and, and, you know, the mother turns to a friend and says, you know what? Jane at home is so much better than John.
Yeah, they do that. I don't know why.
It's a really weird kind of thing to say.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with you. You know, and this
very destructive. Very destructive.
Yeah, and that's why I want people to imagine that they're speaking or interacting with a child.
Mm-hmm.
Would your behavior appear normal if you were interacting with an adult?
Mm-hmm. There's also another situation that I'm currently working with a client who has a Havanese, and this particular Havanese, she has a Wheaton Terrier, and who is about 6 years old, I believe, 5-6 years old, and she has an 8-month-old Havanese, male Havanese, and she got this particular puppy because she wanted her own dog. She felt like the Wheaton is her husband's dog. And she wanted a dog that she could feel that was her very own.
Oh boy.
Right. So.
I know where this is going.
And she wants the love of the dog. She really does have a need to have affection from the dog because she wants the dog to provide that because she may not be getting it elsewhere, okay, from humans. So anyway, she just happened to have really bad luck. And she gets a Havanese who is extremely independent, doesn't like being petted.
Mm-hmm.
You reach for him to go pet him, and he backs up. He doesn't want her to be flaunting herself all over him. And that was the biggest issue that we had to work on. And we are working on it. And our behavior modification and the training that we're doing is helping a lot. And she's feeling a lot better about her relationship now with the dog. But things like that happen. I mean, she went out. And so before she started working with me during our consult, she was saying, I think I'm going to go out and get another puppy. Because maybe the other puppy will give me the affection and love that I really want. And I'm begging her, please don't do that. Because
you know,
she could wind up with double trouble.
I want to take a break if we can, because I really would like for folks to listen to the services that you offer.
Okay.
In the South Jersey area, if we can do that. And then when we come back, I do want to bring up some of what you were just saying.
Sure. Is your dog always in the doghouse? Does he greet people by jumping all over them? Does she chew your shoes and steal your undies? Guess what? Your dog needs training. Hi, I'm Rini Premeza, the Jersey dog trainer, and I train dogs using only positive-based methods. My services include private training right in your own home. I also offer group puppy kindergarten classes starting at 8 weeks of age and group classes for adolescent and adult dogs beginning at 5 months of age. All group classes are held at Dog Days Camp for Canines, 23 West Main Street, Marlton, New Jersey. For more information, please contact me at 609-280-9338 or on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com. Again, that's 609-280-9338 or on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com.
Welcome back to Thursday in the Doghouse. Today, Rini Premeza and I are discussing a unique syndrome that affects owners of dogs that had beautiful, wonderful dogs in the past. It's called My Other Dog Was So Much Better Syndrome. And before we took a break, Rini was talking about a particular client or a case that she was working on where the owner was quite needy, and she was needing that kind of love and attention from her dog that wasn't giving it. And one of the things that I talk about in a recent article that I posted on NJ.com, if you want to see it, it's called, you know, Do You Suffer From My Other Dog With So Much Better Syndrome? And it's located at www.nj.com/pets. And one of the points I bring up is, you know, did you get a dog for, you know, love purposes or protection purposes? And if so, why do you feel compelled to place your heart or your safety in the hands of a non-human species that doesn't speak or understand our language? I mean, you really have to kind of examine that. What's your need? I mean, is there other areas of your life that's lacking that you have? Maybe you might have a bad relationship. I mean, this is kind of really touchy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you really have to kind of like look into yourself and try to figure out, you know, try to think outside the box here. You know, why do I feel so disappointed in my dog? Why am I feeling so hurt badly?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I find a lot of this is it comes out in a very weird way when people purchase dogs for protection purposes. I mean, there's no reason why they need to be protected.
Don't you find that people who live in beautiful homes, in beautiful
mm-hmm.
areas, very low crime areas, they're the ones that get the biggest and the machoest dogs in those areas? It's not like
mm-hmm.
they're, you know, it's not like there are major break-ins in that area. Why are they getting these dogs?
I think that there's something that's missing in that person's life. Either they don't feel that they are capable themselves of protecting themselves. There's some sense of insecurity somewhere. It could be in a failing marriage. It could be issues from when you were a child.
How about the men who go out and get these macho dogs? And I think that sometimes the dogs help the men, especially, feel self-confident when they're really not confident people. So the dog becomes like the alter ego.
But it's not, because when that dog dies, you're back to square one.
Oh, absolutely.
No, so you
absolutely
need to really get in there and try to figure out why you have the need to get this kind of dog to make you feel tough or protected. I mean, there's a serious deficit somewhere in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, on the break during Rini's commercial, she was sharing a story with me about a client that got a very aggressive breed. Do you want to talk about that?
Actually, I don't, because I think she's listening to the show, and I don't want to, you know, ruin my client owner privileges here. But it is true that many dogs get breeds that really they shouldn't get. I mean, the particular dog that she's gotten, it should be on a farm, really, but she's gotten this breed, and I think that she's going to be faced with a lifetime of challenges, and that's what I'm going to try to help prevent, you know, when I see her.
You know, I do want to say that. I'm sorry. Did you have more to say?
No, that's it.
You know, I do want to say that a lot of the breeds that show aggressive behavior towards people and other dogs, they're not feeling good. I mean, most of this behavior is fear-based. So, you know, what a horrible thing to do to a living creature.
Let's place that responsibility.
Give them that responsibility.
Right, to protect you.
Mm-hmm. I mean, really, they're frightened 90% of their lives, and you're constantly putting them into danger, which is another subject that I have on that same site, nj.com/pets, that I term sending dogs to war. And, you know, it's repeatedly, you know, exposing a dog to fearful stimuli. I mean, what a cruel thing to do to an animal.
Not only that, Karen, when people go out and they get protection dogs and they specifically tell me, I want this dog to be protective, the first thing I tell them is you don't train the dog to be protective when you live in a neighborhood. When you're not in the military, you're not training the dog to be a police dog or a warrior. The dog lives in a domestic society, and if you train this dog to be protective, you may be looking at a lawsuit sometime in the future with this dog.
I guarantee you'll end up in the newspaper.
Yeah, because if it is a protection breed, like a shepherd or a Rottweiler or a Mastiff that was, you know, even boxers were bred as protection dogs, as guard dogs. If you reinforce that protectiveness, you're going to get three times more than you bargained for.
Yeah.
If you get a protection dog, you need to make that dog friendly with everybody you possibly can. Now that sounds counterintuitive, but it's not. The dog has to know that the mailman is a good person or the mailwoman. The dog has to know that everybody of every color and every race, size, gender, and no matter who it is, the dog needs to be very well socialized with, and other animals and dogs and cats and whoever, and be so that the dog can understand and recognize when somebody is a little bit off, you know, or somebody who looks a little strange, so that they know the difference. If you raise your dog to be protective and you reinforce protectiveness, the dog can bite your neighbor's child, your dog can bite your mother-in-law when she comes to visit, and maybe she goes into the yard thinking you're in the yard, and there stands your big protection dog not expecting your mother, and whammo.
Yeah, I mean, I could not have said it better. In fact, the best protection dogs I have ever seen, as far in being a protection, you know, family dog, are labs, poodles. I mean, even Shih Tzus. I mean, dogs that just love everybody.
Right. They know
they love other dogs. Mm-hmm. They love other cats. They love the mailman, the pizza delivery guy. They love kids. Mm-hmm. They see people on the street and they go crazy because they're so excited because they love people.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the dogs that will, when someone's intending to do you harm, when someone is weird and they're unstable, your dog will let you know.
That's the truth. They have an extrasensory perception, possibly, of they're just a very good judge of character when they're very well socialized. They can pick up something different. So keep that in mind, everybody. So, you know, so this was a very good topic, Karen, and I commend you for your newsletters. I encourage everybody to go to New Jersey, www.nj.com/pets. Karen has a lot of articles on there. She comes out with a newsletter. Is it monthly?
It's a monthly newsletter. It's available through Constant Contact. And if you go to www.thedogsupernanny.com, you can subscribe to it. It's free.
Okay.
And get it out each month. I cover a different subject.
Yeah, it's a very, very good newsletter. And even when I read it, Karen, sometimes I learn a lot.
That's a real compliment.
Yeah, it's the truth. Well, we all have our ideas, you know, and you have your, I swear, dogs from different locations are different. I mean, you may have met many dogs up there where you are and describe them, and I meet the same dogs down here, and the dogs down here are nothing like the dogs up there.
Yeah.
So that kind of goes along with what we've talked about, that dogs aren't clones of one another.
Yeah,
but I think
exactly.
Location is very, very interesting. I mean, so we'll talk more about this kind of stuff, and I hope that you become addicted to listening to us every Thursday morning from 10 to 10:30 here on WNJC 1360 AM to Thursday in the Doghouse. And Karen's going to be back next week to talk to you about another great subject. And it's nice outside so far, so take your dog for a walk before it gets too hot. Talk to you next week, everybody.
Have a great weekend.
Bye.
Take care.
I'm glad you're home. I've been holding it in. Grab the leash, let's go chop chop. If I don't get out soon, the court's gonna pop. Twist and shout, ooh, I gotta go out. Well, I'd love to stay and talk, of course.
This is 1360 AM, WNJC, Washington Township, Philadelphia. Philadelphia's Renaissance radio station. Brought to you from Forsyth Broadcasting. Or listen to us at WNJC1360.com.
She packed my bags last night, pre-flight. 0 hour, 9 a.m. And I'm gonna be high as a kite by then.